Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us here. We have, of course, as you can see, put up the Christmas decorations in the Red Eye Studio. It is Christmas. Hope you're ready for it. It is December 4th here today. And I think it's a little bit more customary. I think Americans put up their decorations a little bit sooner. Swedes are I remember the tradition we had in Sweden anyway. We decorated our Christmas tree the night before Christmas Eve, right? But Lana is, and I think rightly so, expressed desire to let's enjoy the Christmas tree a little bit longer, right? So otherwise you get 3 days with it and that's it, right? So anyway, all the decorations now, at least in the studio, are up, guys. But anyway, if you're joining us through redeyes.tv or redeyesmembers.com, thank you so much for being here. Special thanks to members, of course. If you do want to support us, get a membership. Best way to help us out, to ensure that we can continue. And, of course, you get access to exclusive stuff as well. We are also, on a couple of social media platforms, despite being booted off both Facebook and YouTube. We do have our Twitter account still, but maybe not for long. I'd recommend that you go and get accounts on bitchute.com. We are at /redeyestv on bitchute. Also, vk.com/redeyestv, kind of a Russian copy of Facebook, really, but it's a great service. You can live stream to it. You can put up your videos and all that kind of stuff. Really good stuff. And then library, lbry.tv, is a new kind of decentralized service. Definitely check it out. Get an account over there and sub to us there. But today, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about masculinity. We're going to talk about diets, paleo, the fat scare that has occurred for, you know, for a couple of decades now, really, in the West, I'd say. People have been scared away from doing fat, and people think that you get fat by eating fat, which is not true. Our guest is Ernst Robert Almgren, and we didn't misspell that. Both Alm and Palm, of course, are trees. So I have a P at the beginning of that, but our guest does not. Anyway, good to have you here, Robert. Thank you for, Robert, I should say. Thank you for coming on.
thank you very much. It's a great honor and privilege to be on your show. I've been following you guys for years. Actually, it was during a period of spiritual search that I found your site first. I was very into forbidden archaeology and that stuff. And
nice.
I think it was an interview with Graham Hancock that was the first show I listened to.
Jeez,
so
when was
way, way back.
That's got to have been, when was he on the show? Maybe 2010? Maybe?
Yeah.
And it was still kind of late. I mean, we done this in 2006. You know, not the video stuff, but just the podcast version and stuff like that. So we've been into all kinds of stuff. You know, I heard an interview with you on another Swedish podcast. Some good friends of mine, Daniel Frendlöf, and a couple of others over at Sveagutta that do a radio show. And I kind of heard about your early stages, if you will, as well. And again, actually similarities in terms of searching, looking for answers, just kind of going across the board in an effort to just kind of try to navigate. I think that's kind of common for people who overall have a deeper interest, I think, than most people, to just kind of go across the spectrum to kind of see where you belong. And doing so, you both weed out a lot of BS, but you also kind of wade through a lot of BS in the way of getting through all of that kind of stuff. But yeah, so that's kind of your background a little bit too. But you've been involved in politics. Again, I think it's the later years now that you focused in more on kind of masculinity and try to kind of like do things that's good for guys, essentially, right? Tell us about your background a little bit more.
Yes, I actually been trying to figure out what makes the difference between people who understand these issues and people who are in the mainstream. And I thought it was intelligence for a while, but I have many smart friends that are like normies. And I think it's, like you said, it's the bullshit factor. I think we have like these bullshit detectors that go off stronger than in other people. So I think that's what leads us on this path to forbidden issues and taboo subjects and so on. Yeah, I started in the late 90s in politics. I was a youth leader for the Swedish Democrats in the late 90s. Then I helped found the National Democrats. That was a little more radical party. And I was a youth leader. I've been an editor for a nationalist magazine that was called Nordic Freedom. And I left party politics around 2006, 2007. And then I went on this sort of spiritual quest. I moved to Italy. I lived there for a few years. I have a daughter in Italy from a previous relationship. And I tried to distance myself from politics and just try to find myself. I worked a lot with personal development, diets, spirituality, strength training, and a lot of this stuff. I just wanted to improve myself instead of just telling the world that it's crap. You know, like that Jordan Peterson saying, make your own bed before you change the world. And I did that, and eventually I started finding myself coming back to these political incorrect issues and red pill. And my main focus when I searched in personal development, I came into masculinity, issues of masculinity. I think it started with me finding the book The Way of Men by Jack Donovan. I know you had him on your show as well.
Yeah, Lana and spoke to him. That's a few years ago now. I forget when he was on, but yeah, it was. He's a good writer. The guy.
Yeah, an amazing writer, and he really walks his talk. And later, I also came into contact with Paul Wagner, that you also had on your show. I know, also Winland, and it was many other sources as well. Roger F. Devlin, I think you had him on your show as well.
Sure did.
And his book, Sexual Utopia and Power, and I can name 10 other books that influenced me in this issue, but I understood that there was something deeply wrong in the dynamics between men and women in the West generally, but in Sweden especially. And, you know, Sweden is the most, I think we're the most feminized country in the Western world, maybe alongside Canada and the UK. But, you know, we have the world's first feminist government, and there are a lot of weird news every week in Sweden that is related to masculinity. You know, the term white man, vita man, is the main hate subject in school teaching, in all the media, all the books, theater, movies, everything. The white man is the issue. And we have to fight masculinity. Toxic masculinity is the main issue. I think that's actually the biggest focus in Swedish culture right now, is anti-masculine in every way. So that's where I started to find out, and I started reading a lot of books about improving, being a better man. And I went to a lot of sites. I found the Manosphere in the US, Rushite, Return of Kings, Order of Man, Brian Mickler. You know, the Manosphere is really big in the US. And I thought for myself, why isn't this in Sweden? I mean, Sweden has the most need for a masculine movement, for talking about masculine issues, but there was nothing. And I went on Google to search for, you know, self-improvement for men, sight for men, masculinity. And the few sites I found that were directed towards Swedish men were just sites about, you need to cry more, you need to hug, you need to sit together in a ring and confirm each other and say that you're beautiful and wonderful. And I'm like, if this is improving masculinity, I think something's gone very wrong. So I saw this vacuum for a site about masculinity and for masculine men. So I joined up with a friend of mine who's also into personal development. And I sort of informed him of all these issues. And he's been active in writing as a professional journalist for many years. And so we decided to team up and start the site Maskulint.se, that roughly translates to masculine. And so now we've been writing for about 2 years on the site, and it's growing rapidly. So that's very encouraging.
Yes, indeed. I want to go into some details on that too, in terms of this, some of the stuff that you've been writing about in some of those kind of areas. But just generally first, though, like, what do you... I also kind of generally seem to think that movement of the manosphere or whatever you want to call it, it's kind of been and I might be wrong on this, but we have, of course, a very healthy nationalist movement in Sweden due to the fact that we're so long down the road towards this the collapse, essentially, the multiculturalism and what these globalists are doing to us in terms of collapsing our countries and collapsing nations to be able to build this new world order of theirs, their globalist utopia. They have to eradicate nationalism. So the way to do that is, of course, to import massive amounts of people. And again, destroying masculinity is an essential component in that scheme, because if you do have that kind of in the way, you will have resistance, you have opposition immediately. Again, I see the feminist movement exclusively as a tool of, well, chaos, ultimately, frankly, but it's a tool of control and subjugation, subversion. To get to that point, but would you agree with saying that the masculine kind of question has been weaved into the nationalist movements that exist in Sweden, and therefore it hasn't been separated? Maybe that it has in, because in America you can have, like, you have a manosphere movement, and it's not that there may be anti-nationalism, but it's not kind of main focus. You see what I'm saying? So it's split off a little bit more, and Sweden feels like those two components are just kind of flown together. If you're a nationalist, you're just healthy and normal when it comes to your outlook on family and tradition and stuff like that too. What do you think?
Yeah, I have to make a clarification there also, because me and my partner of the site, we talked a lot about if we were going to call ourselves the manosphere, because it's a very elusive term. It's like the alt-right. It can mean a lot of stuff.
I mean, and it does to a lot of different people too.
Yeah, it means a lot of stuff. And there are a lot of kooks in every movement, and in the manosphere is not except from that. And so we wrote on our site that, yeah, we would like to represent the Nordic part of the manosphere, but with the caveat that we embrace the stuff that we like and we don't embrace the stuff we don't like. For instance, there are elements like the MGTOW movement, men going their own way,
but
we don't agree with at all. There is, of course, there is some misogyny. Of course, there are men that are bitter towards women, and we don't agree with that at all. I think, you know, being a man is about being able to handle both the negative and the positive sides of femininity. Just as for a woman, it's about embracing both the negative and the positive sides of masculinity. I mean, we are complementary. We work best together, and that's our message. I mean, we don't have any antagonism towards women, of course. And there are some parts of that in the manosphere in the US.
There is. Yeah, no, there is. That's true. And of course, that's counterproductive, literally, in terms of what birth rates are falling apart, or we're losing our nations. We're being flooded with immigrants. Again, I think driving wedges between men and women have been, I think that's been the way that they've been managed to destroy our nations, essentially. And so it's up to us to weave that together. And it doesn't mean you should sit back and take shit from, like, you know, bratty women or whatever, but it means, you know, you do what you can to be there and fulfill your part of that, you know, contract. It's not a contract, but you know what I'm saying. Like, nature has set up it in a certain way. And, you know, if you're not there, well, guess what? She's not going to be there either, right?
Yeah, you know, people want to attribute the feminization of men on many things. Some people say, you know, it's subversive groups in society who wants to feminize men. Some people say it's just a natural progression, like Oswald Spengler wrote, that we go in cycles. You know, we have, you know, what is the saying? Strong men create good societies create weak men create hard times. I totally butchered that.
Yeah, no, I know. It's the cyclical nature, you know, to it. Yeah, strong men creates. We know that.
So I think it's not just one thing. I think there was a decline before the political subversion, just because of our great welfare. We've been in peace for a long time. And then I think there are subversive groups who use that to, I mean, speed the decline along. And of course, the feminist movement, I mean, we reached peak feminism. I have an article coming out on this on our site soon, because in the beginning, people were quite sympathetic to the feminist movement because people see women as a weaker group, the weaker sex. We need to take care of them, give them rights, make sure that they are fine. And most people can sympathize with that. But then there has been elements. I contest that it's been there from the beginning. But however, now the mask is starting to slip. Most people see that it's not a pro-women movement. It's an anti-men movement. And especially it's an anti-our countrymen movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because as we can see with feminist movements, it's not really a movement against... they don't talk about the patriarchy in other countries. In fact, it's the opposite. When it's about patriarchies in other countries, it's about subjugating themselves to them. Like we've seen with the Swedish feminists, they put on the hijab or the burqa to show solidarity with Muslim women, which is really weird when Muslim feminist women takes off the hijab or the burqa to signal their freedom. So, I mean, it's really a subversive movement and it's anti-white men. It's not pro-women in any way. And we can also see the effects now of many decades of feminism. I mean, every poll showed that women are unhappier than they've been for a very long time, for many decades, because both women and men have been misled to try to assume each other's role. You know, they say to the man, you have to become more feminine, more in touch with your feelings. Then they say to the women, you have to be more determined. You have to be harder. You have to be tough. Go after that career and, make the money, be the breadwinner. And this has shown, this has created a big divide and big confusion. There was actually an article in New York Times a few weeks ago or a month ago, I think, where women on dating sites are complaining that they can't find high value men, because most women, when it comes down to it, they want a man who can provide for them. They want a man that is stronger than them, that is experienced, smarter. But they have been focusing their whole life on being better than men. And then they're trying to find a man that is better and they can't find it. So now they're miserable because they can't find a man that makes them feel secure. And the men, in their turn, they become bitter because they've been taught that if they're just in touch with their feelings, if they're just equal, they do the dishes, take care of the kids, then the women will really find them hot. And they're not. It's the total opposite. So women are drifting away from the men and the men are drifting away from the women. And of course, a lot of this is created by design, as we can see. The leading feminists and the leading anti-men people in the media, they know very well what they're doing. Also, we can see that this has, of course, contributed to the decline in birth rates
definitely.
In the Western world, especially in Sweden. And then they say, you're not having enough kids. You know, that's not good. So we have to open the borders so we can have more people to fill up the country. It's good for growth and economic growth and so on. And at the same time, they're pushing like, no, don't have kids. Go out, make a career. Kids are in the way. You have to, they take all your time. You can't have fun anymore. And at the same time, they're like, oh, I'm sorry, you're not having kids. We have to solve it another way. So it's always creating a problem that they can find a solution for that is not in our best interest. And that's how they work.
Yeah, absolutely. Reminder of a couple of stories there, of course, that's popped up, about that. They have want to do something good for the environment, and it's like don't have one fewer children or something. And it's always white killed kids in those stock images that they use for those things as well. It's devious, the way that they pulled a couple of fast ones on us. And it took a little time for us to catch up. But now, of course, things are beginning to turn. I don't think it's too late. I don't think it's over. We're still the majority in our countries. I think You know, they from my point of view, they always try to gaslight us into thinking, well, there's nothing you can do now. That's it, kind of thing. But in terms of birth rates, I mean, that could change incredibly fast, actually. You know, if each woman decides to have five kids, you know, is four, and I know that that's not going to happen overnight, but eventually there might be enough conservatives left in circulation, if you know what I mean, because they are the ones who bother to have kids. That in two, three generations, that then they're that's going to pick up again. It's not over until it's over, right? So we have to fight. We have to do everything we can to push back against this. But overall, I agree with you. I think, you know, there's a lot of different reasons, but all of it it combined has created a situation where we are now going into a country as a system by design, which is going to be much, much harder for many different reasons. And when that happens, as you said, as we talk about that cyclical nature, you are going to see more men rising to the surface again, because they have to if we're going to survive. Now, do you think it's peace for 200 years? That, like, I mean, I showed the tweet earlier, right? But like, this is a classic. Let me pull this up here. Where is it? There it is. This is straight from the military, Försvarsmakten in Sweden, the military, you know, official Twitter account for the military in Sweden. We don't always march straight, you know, they're lining up to go to Europride and all that kind of stuff, right? And they paint this poor couple here. I'm not sure if they're supportive of it or not, that they're probably following orders in the LGBT colors, or whatever you want to call it, the rainbow colors. It's like, well, you know, it's like, this is not going to, it's like, if we end up in war, you're going to die. It's like, this is not going to work. You know, over 200 years of peace. It seems that we have to have perpetual, not conflict all the time, but like, it needs to be there as a pressure for us to continue to understand what the rules of nature is. What do you think?
You opened a lot of can of worms there. I want to mention a quick thing about this green movement, because I think this climate movement, I think this is the new proxy for man hate, anti-West, everything. We actually saw proof of this of Greta Thunberg. It was recently revealed she wrote an article with two other authors for one of George Soros magazines, where they discussed that the climate movement is not just about climate. It's also about fighting the patriarchy. It's also about fighting white privilege and, toxic masculinity and all this stuff. So this is the new proxy. And we also saw recently that the most known feminist leader in Sweden, called Gudrun Schyman, she actually announced not long ago that she's actually leaving her feminist party to join the climate movement. So I think that's a sign in the time. But about the decline of men in the West, I mean, you can trace it how long back you want. You can, in Roger F. Devlin talk about this in his book, and he traces it back even to the French Revolution. But I think it's started already with the industrialization, when men started to leave the farms and go into the factories, and the boys were at home with their mother. So I think even there, it started to decline in a small way, not like now, of course. But also, we can talk about the courts and how they discriminate men to take away the rights to their children. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a lot of different issues to explain why this is happening. But one thing we can say for certain is that fatherless homes have created more problems with both men and women than almost any other issue. I mean, fatherless homes, single households with the mother, especially, it creates men with issues and women with issues, because that's the whole point. When we have a mother and a father, we get balance. I mean, you probably experienced this as well with your kid. I mean, it's that back and forth. The man is a little more harsher and a little more, I'll follow the rules and do this. And the mother takes care of the, no, it's okay. You're fine as you are. It's beautiful. And it's this great combination with the feminine, the masculine, that creates whole individuals.
Good cop, bad cop.
Yeah, we get total dysfunction among our young, and we can see it. And then, of course, on top of that, you have the education, where they put women on the pedestal and tell boys, oh, it's these precious beings. You can never question them or say anything to them, because then they will fall apart. It's actually a very mixed message, if you notice, because in one hand, they say women are strong and independent and they can do what they want. On the other hand, they're very fragile. We can't question them, because that's, you know, making them feel uneasy. You have to be very careful with the women. And so it's this totally mixed message, you know, cry out when you strike them. it's that sort of dynamic. So
I saw this good tweet. I mentioned that too. 43% of boys are raised by single mothers. 78% of teachers are females. So almost 50% of boys have 100%. Sorry, that's the wrong screen. Let me go over here. So almost 50% of boys have 100% feminine influence while at home, and an 8 in 10 ish chance of 100% influence at school. Toxic masculinity isn't the problem. The lack of masculinity is. This was going pretty crazy viral, I think, too. But yeah, I mean, it's true, right? If you remove that that support system, and again, I mean, do you think that that's part of the courts you mentioned, that there's so many things that rig it against men to kind of disincentivize them from taking an active part in their kid's life if it becomes a divorce or what, you know, whatever happens afterwards? And then, of course, on top of that, as you kind of explained it or alluded to, at least, that divorce is more common today. Again, whether you're a Christian or not, or if you're a pagan or whatever, but it's true that it's like that commitment. It's easier today for people to not have a spiritual commitment, so it's easier for them to do divorces and not be obligated to anything, right? So everything is just kind of collapsing and falling apart, partially because we as individuals have fallen apart. So we can't hold anything up around us either, right?
Yeah, and I call this, I didn't coin this term, but divorce porn. There is divorce porn in the culture, you know, movies like Eat, Pray, Love. You know, there are a lot of these movies and fantasies that they sell mostly to women, because it's mostly women initiating divorce. And they're sold these fantasies in novels and in movies about, if you just leave him, you will find someone better. You deserve better, you know. And so they encourage him. Is he really good for you? I mean, I don't read a lot of women's magazine, but I asked my girlfriend, and she asked, you know, they constantly sell these fantasies to women that if you just leave him, you will find someone better. And many times they don't, and they end up as spinsters or cat ladies, like we say, you know, a lot of cats. And you know, the green is always greener on the, what do you say in English?
The green pasture is always, it's always greener on the other side. I forget that term, but something like that.
Yeah, and this is what we talk about, because we talk a lot about hypergamy in the manosphere. And this has a lot of confusion around it, because some want to try to say that we are painting women in a bad light, but it's not about that. I mean both men and women have biological urges that can be destructive or positive. For instance, men's biological imperative is to spread our seed to as many women as we can, to have a lot of offspring. But we have self-control, of course. I mean, we don't try to get with any woman we see on the street. And women also have biological urges, and there is hypergamy, and that is monkey branching from relationship to relationship in search for a better man. That is their biological imperative. And in the past, we had traditions and constitutions that kept this, you know, from spiraling. The church, for instance, we had in the past, and we had social shaming. I mean, if a man tried to get with every woman, I mean, some man would eventually knock him out to say, you know, you're not a good man. And if a woman just slept around and didn't settle down, there was there was incentives in the culture for her to settle down and, you know, try to create a real family. And we don't have those incentives. And for men, the most damaging thing, to connect with something you asked before, the biggest lack for men today is rites of passage. It's initiation. Mm-hmm. I mean, in every traditional society, you have initiation. It's both a religious initiation and it's a military initiation. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm 38 years old, so I think I was one of the last generations to do military service, obligatory military service. Most men younger than me haven't done that. And we also had confirmation in the church, you know, that marked a passage from boy to man. And we don't have that. So we have men being forever young, you know, the Peter Pan complex. We have men that never really grow up. They live by video games and, you know, porn and all these diversions. So they're not really interested in going out and finding a good woman and settling down. They're content. And this is actually not just subversive elements. We can see this in Japan as well, where the government actually are doing advertising, trying to encourage young Japanese people to meet each other, to have sex and have mm-hmm. children, mm-hmm. because they're not interested. They're occupied with watching internet and porn and so
what do you think of that, by the way? Let me ask you about that. Like, you know, there's actually kind of a stronger anti-pornography movement that's popped up now too, right? And I remember even I think it began last year, No Nut November, and it's like the Coomer meme, and it's all the, you know, it's fun, right? But it's a serious thing behind all that too. And immediately, as you see the media and these left-wing activists are like it, they're shaming people if they don't like watch porn and masturbate, essentially. It's far right. These people are, they're white supremacists that have started this. It started on 8chan and 4chan and, you know, shit like that. And it's just, it's amazing how this whole, the whole culture. But I think they're lashing out like that because there's a core of truth behind that, which they're afraid of exposing. I mean, I saw one argument on Twitter. They literally think that if men masturbate, jerk off to porn, we literally stop terrorism from happening or something like that.
Create a lot of terrorists that way.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man, it's insanity.
So this is so this is Talmudry on the highest level.
Yeah, exactly.
When I grew up, it was the losers were the ones staying at home jerking off. Guys were the ones going out meeting women. Now they're actually trying to turn it the other way around.
That's right. Yeah.
Man, go home and bust a nut.
Yeah. You're not a loser, are you? Yeah. What are you going to do? You're going home. Go home and have sex with the lady.
With the waifu.
At least a tranny. Yeah. You gotta spice it up in some way, right? Yeah.
Then it's a different thing.
The headlines was, but what do I, how should I react if I go home with a woman and she has a penis? Do you see that line? What should I do? Is it okay to say, like, no?
You have the open trick.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Actually, one of our most read articles on our site, Masculine, is how pornography hurt men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I cite a lot of different sources there. Actually proving, there's an article in the magazine called Psychology Today, where they actually have studies about the effects on the male brain with porn.
Yeah.
And we find some very interesting stuff in that article. For instance, I mean, they think these are good things. So that's why they're promoting porn. It shows that men who watch a lot of porn become more leftist. They actually say this, that's a great thing. Don't stop porn because you can become a right-wing extremist. It shows that they have a lower, not aggression, but, need for dominance, need for rising in the hierarchies. It makes you more, settled, mm-hmm. much more content mm-hmm. With your life. So men who sit home and watch porn and jerk off, they become, they don't have any ambition, they don't have any drive, and they think it's a good thing because, you know, then it leaves room for women to take their place instead. You know, the men can stay home and take care of the kids. I don't know how they're going to be any kids without actual sex, but somewhere along those lines, their reasoning. So, I mean, porn is destructive for men, and they actually showed some interesting stuff. It's becoming more.
Sorry, but you have to underline that before we continue. And sorry, remember where you were there because I want to hear the rest of that. But it has to be underlined here too that it's like, I mean, I've always, every time something is just ubiquitous and free, right? Then you're like, okay, what's the reason for this, right? Nothing is ever free, right? But it, I mean, if there's one thing ubiquitous on the internet, it's pornography, right? It's just flooded. It's probably still, right? Does it get more traffic now than the rest of the? I mean, in the early days, sure, it was like porn was always number one. It might still be. I haven't even looked at some statistics, right? But if nothing else, like it's number two and three, maybe in terms of like data or something like that, right? But so it's clear that this is being produced, it's being disseminated, it's being just doused in this thing because, as you say, someone is using it as a political and transformative tool to break down men, cause all these issues, right? There were social issues, more prone to getting anxiety, you get lowered self-esteem, like all these things was related to it, right? It's so damaging. So say the last bit again.
Erectile dysfunction.
Right, right. Yep.
They can't get it up. And it's actually going down ages. I mean, boys in their teens are having erectile dysfunction. You have to start, you know, they have to get Viagra to get a boner. And it's actually connected to the dopamine system in the brain. Most people know this by now, but when men watch porn and they see a variety of women, their brain doesn't understand the difference between having sex with a lot of women and jerking off to it. So their brain is being rewarded with tons of dopamine saying, oh, you're winning at life. I mean, you're having tons of children. So you're successful. You can take it easy now. And there is a TED talk about this, Your Brain on Porn, that's really interesting, a guy that really made research about porn. And he said the biggest problem he had for this survey was that he couldn't find any boys that wasn't watching porn. Oof. He couldn't find it because everyone was doing it. And he also found another thing. I mean, my generation that grew up with porno magazines, they actually had less problems because when men were reading porno magazines, it took longer, you know, to go through a lot of material. You had to flip the pages and so on. It wasn't as hard. Now a young boy can go to 100, tens of thousands of different sites with porn on demand in his mobile phone, computer, TV, everything. He's overwhelmed by porn, and that's just the real porn. Then we have the popular culture. I mean, look at movies today. I mean, I was watching a TV series called American Gods because I read the books by Neil Gaiman. And it's about, you know, ancient gods living in today's America. And the first episode show a gay sex scene. I mean, very graphic. And it's not even in the book.
And I think, do you remember the director? He was like very active on Twitter. I think I think he even had a I think Lana replied to him and he said something like, yeah, I did it to like rub it in the faces of people who like Norse mythology or something like that. Essentially, it was like a giveaway. It was like, yeah, that was the intention, right?
Yeah, and the main protagonist in the series, the show was a black man in the series, but he's white in the book. So of course, tried to subvert everything to be as politically correct as possible. So. Yeah, and they just throw in this gay sex in everything. And I mean, it's I actually don't have a big issue with homosexuals as long as they're, you know, staying for themselves. But it's so obvious that they're throwing this in to be subversive in everything, in all the books, movies, literature, everywhere. It has to be in your face. You can't look away from it. And it's obviously social engineering going on. And, you know, when I put my son into doggies, a preschool, I actually had a friend of mine who is a devout Christian, and he actually went around to the different preschools in my area to ask, do you have any gender education for young kids? Do you, you know, push the global homo agenda? And it was a lot. And we found one preschool that didn't, and that's where I put my kid. But in many of preschools, it's like little books with dad, and son, and, you know, this gay parents and gay families.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
QXC families. So they're pushing this everywhere, in everything. And it's very obvious as well that when there is one of these kids shows, I mean, now I'm trying to show my kids just stuff that I shows from my own movie collection so they don't see it.
Yeah.
But I watched a little on TV on today's kids shows, and it's very obvious. The white kid is always the gay one that is very weak and timid. Mm-hmm. The black cool one, and then there's always a white girl that fancies the black kid.
Yeah.
And it's so disgusting that they're doing this towards the kids at that early age.
Yeah.
They try to push it in subliminally so that they will have this understanding of the
it's
world.
It's so contrived, and it's all, you know, it's didactic. It's meant to be on a manipulative level, and then like we see these patterns and we point them out, and the response by normal, that's the wrong word, the regular established society is to say that, oh, you're the problem that you're pointing this out. Why is this a problem? But then, as we said, you realize when you look into the director or the writer or the person who's done this, they can be totally open that they're hyper political. This is the intention. They want to transform society. Like, there's a clear intent that this is what they're intending to do. And when we expose this and say, hey, this is wrong because you're shoving your political ideology on 3, 4, 5 year olds, you know, kids. We've exposed them essentially, but all they can do is to lash back. It's disgusting what they're involved in, you know.
And also, it's not even done with finesse anymore, because I mean, subversion has been there since the beginning of Hollywood. I know Black Pill, Devon has done a lot of great reviews of these old Hollywood movies mm-hmm. that celebrate the Rothschilds and have these subversive messages. But at least it was mostly with finesse. It was still entertaining. I mean, the movies we watched growing up, was at least somewhat entertaining. Now it's openly political propaganda. Like, watch the new Star Wars movies with Rey, invincible girl in the leading role.
Yeah.
I watched the first one, then I couldn't see anymore.
I couldn't either. It was impossible. It was so bad. And it's like all the magic is gone. I mean, again, they have the budgets, they have the special effects, but there's nothing there. The soul it's died. You know what I mean?
And it's no character development. There's no story arc. Everything is contrived just to be able to push in this political correct virtue signaling in every scene. Like, we need a reason to show this gay character. So let's make him show up behind this rock and do some gay stuff. So we had that. So it's a complete movie, you know, and it's so obvious.
I mean, they literally put like the purple-haired feminist in there, and she was like she figured all these things out. I mean, they destroyed the whole. I don't want to, you know, get lost in Star Trek here, but it's so obvious, you know. I even thought too. There was like, they must have done this to the Luke Skywalker character the way that they took him out, especially like with how it happened to him and the actor too. He was like, this is not Luke. He would never act like this. This is, you know. I think because Star Wars was I mean, it's a show, it's a space opera or whatever, but it was so successful to reframe an ancient story of the hero's journey. And we know about Joseph Campbell, and his work was weaved into the early works of George Lucas. And, you know, they knew all this stuff, and they took motifs from an Indo-European tradition, weaved it into a story that took place in space, right? So I think it was the intention was to destroy it, to subvert it in order to say that this like you're not going to find any more pleasure in this. There's not going to be any good messages coming out of this anymore, you know?
Yeah, it's very obvious that they've chosen the most male characters and archetypes from movies, and now they're trying to destroy them. That's why they're doing all these stupid remakes of absolutely everything. Ghostbusters with only female characters. Yeah.
Yep.
A Batwoman that is so, just watch the trailer, it's so atrocious. This is actually funny. I laughed my ass off watching that, and apparently most people did as well, because it's been downvoted like a million times or something, and it's so atrocious and ridiculous. And yeah, they're not even trying anymore to make it look believable or fun or interesting. It's just political propaganda pushed down our throats. And most people watching it was, yeah, I have to watch something. Let's watch a movie this weekend. And they see it, it's crap, but at least they got the propaganda with it.
Yeah, it's absolutely despicable. I saw a good review, by the way. Let me go over here real quick. By ER. There was a couple of good ones out there on YouTube, obviously, but a couple of really good, breakdowns of Star Wars, if you want to watch those and kind of just get the message behind it and just how they ruin things and stuff like that. One thing that's good too, of course, is that it does expose that they're willing to take a multi-million dollar machine to turn it against us, essentially, right? To use that against us. And if we can take that message and simply do a jiu-jitsu move, which is to take the energy of what they're trying to push in our direction over to them and say, look at what they're trying to do here with all these budgets to just to get us to roll over, essentially. You've managed to kind of do something with it at least, right? But we're going to take a break here in just a little bit, and I want to continue talking more with you. We didn't show some of the studies there yet from the APA, the American Psychological Association. We got to talk about that, turning essentially just normal masculinity into a toxic thing, from going to having that homosexuality and, like, let's say, gender dysphoria being part of the APA's kind of record of like issues, psychological issues, right? So it's a complete flip. We see this in everything. Everything that has been needs to be upturned, and they need to uproot everything and turn it on its head 180 degrees. Otherwise, they're not happy. But tell us a bit about your stuff. Then obviously your content is for Swedish people, Swedish speaking people, those who can read and understand, listen to Swedish, obviously, but plug your stuff and let people know where they can find you.
Yeah, the main site is obviously masklint.se. We are planning on creating an English section to the site, but it's will probably launch next year. For people who wish to follow me otherwise, just go to ernstrobertangren.com. Actually recently put up that site just so people can find my links. So it's only a collection site where you can find all my links to my social media and stuff. And as we were talking about before the show, I'm actually planning on doing some YouTube stuff. Ride that platform as long as you can before they throw everyone off. So I was thinking to do a little turn up there as well.
Yeah.
Yes, you have also my site about paleo and low carb, high fat diet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is so important. I want to ask you about this later too. We'll get into that in part two. But yeah,
go on. So the Swedish readers can go to that site, levafett.se, and find 100 articles there about paleo, low carb, high fat diet, training. Nice. And all the stuff.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. And of course, did you say your Twitter as well? It's just Robert Almgren, I believe, right?
Yes.
We'll have links to that, guys. Give him a follow over there. And again, he's going to go into YouTubing English section on the site. So definitely keep tabs on him. Follow him on Twitter. And when those things are announced, you can take part in that right away. All right, great. Well, Ernst, stay with us then. We're going to take a short break here. We'll be right back with part two. Again, join us at redicemembers.com, the member section. Best way to support us can ensure that we can continue doing these shows and continue spreading the message. So thank you very much for joining us. We'll be right back in part two.
Watch the full show at redicemembers.com. Sign up now.